NBA fans can stop frantically refreshing Twitter, or at least they can give their thumbs a bit of a rest, because the NBA trade deadline has come and gone. That's up first on this week's Three Stories You Should Know. My guests are ESPN's Don Van Natta Jr. and Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist. Hello to both of you.
Hey, Karen.
Hello.
Mike, first of all, how's your thumb? And second, tell us your takeaway from the latest round of trades.
I guess my thumb is up if you're the New Orleans Pelicans, because they certainly ripped off a Sacramento Kings team who traded one of the finest basketball players, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins, who is like the 6'10 version of Shaquille O'Neal. Trades are interesting, and I like the remaking of the NBA season, which is entirely too long. But this is why it's interesting. To the entire NBA, like a lot of sports, what has changed so much in the last, say, 15 years is geography, the spacing on the court. And it's more of a subtle thing. If you only watch the ball, you might not notice this. But just as in baseball, the shift has been embraced, and just as in football, they now spread the offense wide. In basketball, it's all about huge gaps between players, and this allows guys like Steph Curry to nail threes willy-nilly. The Pelicans have gone another way. Maybe out of design. Maybe it's just because they already have Anthony Davis, this great center. They got Boogie Cousins, and now they're going to have a throwback to the days of Twin Towers or guys who will need the ball down low. And I like the lagniappe, as a New Orleanian might say, of this little bit of difference that the current breed of Pelicans brings. Also, I just love talking about Pelicans in a sports context.
This is fantastic for fans like me who love the grinded out era of the 90s, the Knicks, the Bulls, the Pistons. I still have a Bill Laimbeer jersey in my closet. But is there going to be any chemistry between these two players? That's the question that's really going to be interesting to watch and follow.
Yeah, after the first game, that certainly is a question. I mean, they lost 129-99 to the Houston Rockets. Not a good start, but also not a reason to panic. It feels like these guys are probably still introducing themselves to each other. Mike, what I'm wondering is, wasn't this maybe somehow inevitable? I mean, there are a lot of teams now with a bunch of smaller guys who shoot threes. So a bunch of smaller guys who shoot threes are now off the market and hard to find. And these bigger guys are a little bit of a better deal. I mean, wasn't someone going to jump on this eventually?
I don't know if this is a case where there is a total trend, spacing, small guys, threes. So the smart thing is to run counter to that trend, to hedge. Or if they have shown the way to play basketball and hedging is just, you know, hearkening back to the past. I kind of think of it this way. The Army War College studies Hannibal, and yet it's still not a good idea to bring elephants into battle, right? So you maybe learn the lessons, but you don't employ every tactic.
All right, it's my turn. And on Wednesday, Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston made what he calls a poor word choice when talking to third through fifth graders at Melrose Elementary School in St. Petersburg, Florida. You might remember Jameis Winston from those rape allegations at Florida State, or the ill-advised shouting in the cafeteria incident, or the fact that he walked out of a grocery store with crab legs that he hadn't paid for. Anyway, Jameis Winston asked the boys in his audience to stand up and be strong, and then, well, let's listen.
But the ladies, they're supposed to be silent, polite, gentle, but my man's supposed to be strong.
So I'm not at all surprised that Jameis Winston said something stupid, and this was stupid. But what surprises me is that people at an elementary school thought that it would be a good idea to have this guy come talk to young kids. I mean, am I wrong here? Don, tell me I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong. What he said was incredibly stupid. There's just no defending what he said. And you're right. What were they thinking at Melrose Elementary School? However, I do look, he's apologized. He spoke for 40 minutes. In the context of what he said, he was telling both the boys and the girls in that classroom, I can do anything I put my mind to, which is a great lesson for young people. And what I really loved about it is one of the young girls turned around after hearing what Jameis Winston said and told a teacher, I'm strong too. So I would like to prefer to view this, you know, debacle as a teaching moment for these young people. I'm sure the thing that they're going to remember most about Jameis Winston's visit is the stupid thing he said. And I'm sure that's being emphasized to those young girls. And so in that way, it's maybe not the worst thing ever.
Yeah, this is certainly a misdemeanor social offense, not a felony. I do wonder who the elementary school turned away. I hope Judy Blume wasn't holding up her hand. And no, we'll go with Jameis. I always wonder about this. They have, I get a press release from some publicist every day about some backup tight end who's, you know, cleaning up a park with kids. Like, how come the kids are always being pushed forward? Like, yeah, some random NFL player. We need to expose our children to this guy.
I know my colleagues who cover the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and who know Jameis Winston, hey, this is not a one-off. He's in the community all the time on his days off talking to people and talking to young people. And so he is trying to put that horrible pass behind him. Of course, you know, putting his foot in his mouth is the worst way to do it.
I would also say the message in the NFL is to say things like this, not for elementary school kids, but to talk to men and to tell them things like, you know, women are out to get your money, or women are out to trick you. All his life, he's gotten messages like this about powerful masculinity and kind of lived in an unfeminized world. And that might be one of the reasons he said this.
All right, Don, once again, we have saved our very most important story for last. Go ahead.
Well, as most of the sports world now knows, Wayne Shaw was the backup goalkeeper for Sutton United, a fifth-tier British soccer team that played mighty Arsenal in an FA Cup match last Monday night. Shaw is also 46 years old and weighs 320 pounds. And in the match's 83rd minute, with Arsenal safely ahead 2-0, Shaw, known as the roly-poly goalie, munched lovingly on a meat and potato pie. The video instantly went viral, and Shaw has become a national celebrity, even a hero. Well, he was for about 24 hours. By the afternoon following that match, Shaw was out of a job. It turns out the team's sponsor for the match, Sun Bets, had offered an 8-to-1 novelty wager on whether Shaw would eat a pie live on TV. And Shaw made no secret of the fact he'd been aware of the bet and that a few of his mates, though not his teammates, might have even wagered on him and the pie. For its part, Sun Bets officials have announced that they paid out a five-figure sum on the bet. Now, it's hard not to laugh about all of this, and not surprisingly, social media has feasted on the story. But the FA and the UK's gambling commission are now investigating. The gambling commission's enforcement and intelligence director said integrity in sport is not a joke. So here's the question, guys. Is Wayne Shaw a villain or a hero?
Hero. Near, far, wherever you are, I believe my pie will get eaten. If the soccer officials, can I say soccer, not football?
You can.
If the league is so invested in being cleaner than Caesar's wife, then why are they accepting the sponsorships of these gambling houses? We're talking about eating a pie. And I don't know about the compensation of the backup keeper on this one specific team, but it seemed like whatever money you could get for eating a pie might be a very large percentage of his overall compensation.
Yeah, I'm fully in the hero camp, too. Pies are delicious, even meat pies, and I am pro meat pie. But I think the villain here is the establishment that offered this particular prop bet. I mean, this is ridiculous because it's almost impossible not to fix. I mean, the guy was hungry, and if he doesn't eat a meat pie, he's fixing the bet. And if he does eat a meat pie, he's fixing the bet. There's no way he can win.
That's right, and that's why he lost his job. He lost his job because the appearances were bad for the management and the owners of this particular football club. Again, a fifth-tier team. You know, what's sad about it, I agree with you guys. He's a hero, he's a legend, and he's beloved all over the UK. What's sad, though, is he has lost his job. He's a backup goalkeeper, but he really was an assistant coach. And he's a guy that did a lot of scut work around this little-known team. He finally gets his 15 minutes of fame, and then this happens to him. And he's, you know, been treated pretty shabbily. It's a sort of dark moment of a great story of Sutton United going up against Arsenal.
My guests for this week's Three Stories You Should Know have been ESPN's Don Van Natta Jr. and Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist. Thanks to both of you.
Welcome.
Thanks, Karen.